Wrestling Omakase brings you a full-course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes, I am Jeff Hawkins. Rob McCarron is on a boat drinking cider. Once again, making use of the very generous paid time off policy that Voices of Wrestling gives up. So coming over to my neighborhood for once, the host of the Dynamite Show over on Fight Game Media, also does a lot of UFC stuff for Figure Four, Paul Fontaine. Hello, Paul.
He's on a motherfucking boat. Yeah, hey, how's it going?
You know, I try not to swear on this show.
Oh, I'm F-bomb, sorry.
Bob, right in the first bit. That's okay. I'll just tag it.
That's all I could think of when you mentioned he was on a boat. Like, anytime somebody says on a boat, like, that's where I'm at.
Okay, cool. No, yeah. Although Rob does like his ciders. So it's one of those weird things. He doesn't,
I like a good
he doesn't,
cider.
He doesn't drink beer. He drinks cider, which I'm just like, okay.
Orchard? Yeah, I like it.
Apple, yeah, like Angry Orchard. Yeah, that's
Angry Orchard. Yeah, yeah. I always call it Apple Orchard and they look at me and
I do like Angry Orchard. I like the Ace Pineapple is actually a pretty good cider.
Ooh,
yeah. Okay. Some sad news that's just breaking, tangential to WWE, but still kind of WWE related. Former WWE 24/7 champion, NASCAR driver Kyle Busch passed away at the age of 41 passed away today after an undisclosed illness.
I didn't know he had the 24/7 belt. I did hear about Kyle and that's, I didn't even know he was sick. So that
kind of neither did me. And Kyle Busch kind of, as I recall, one of the reasons he got on pro wrestling's radar was he was kind of a heel when he was driving the M&M's car. My NASCAR has admittedly lapsed in a bunch of years, so I can't speak on Kyle Busch. There are other people who will
His brother
sad.
Kurt,
he's so young.
Kurt
yes.
Busch also
yes, yes. NASCAR yeah. Hall of Famer.
I used to watch it like almost every weekend. My dad watched it religiously, and so I would go over to my dad's place and watch. And you know when Kyle Busch was at his peak, like that would have been when I would go watch it with my dad. So okay. This is, you know, late 2000s, early 2010s.
Yeah, so, no, yeah. I mean, he was, and look, in NASCAR terms, you can drive until you're about 50. So 41, still relatively young, but man, it's like, oh yeah, he had an undisclosed illness, wasn't feeling well, and then passed away. And you're just like, wow, I hadn't even heard anything about this.
Well, and like since then I've heard, okay, so he took some time off and then he missed the Coca-Cola 600, which was like the big red flag, because that's one of their biggest races of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then this just kind of came out of nowhere. So obviously happened really fast. With thoughts out to his family and friends. It's terrible. Yeah.
And then
usually when those guys go, it's in a wreck. So it's like,
And also, you know, it's one of those things where for me as a kid, I still connect NASCAR and pro wrestling as close together, because I grew up, you know, in that Virginia mid-Atlantic region.
Yeah.
I mean, those were the two sports that we got, because we didn't have professional sports teams in the area. So it's, you know,
I didn't really follow it as a kid, but I did follow IndyCar.
Okay.
You know, with like Emerson Fittipaldi.
Yeah, because like F1 racing, you had that up where you were too.
Gilles Villeneuve was big. Yeah. Jacques, his son. I never liked F1 because it was on early in the morning, but like the IndyCar was like right in the middle, you know, and I would watch the Indy 500 every year up until, I don't know, gosh, the pandemic probably. I kind of fell out around that time.
I will
tell you, AEW like killed like my interest in so much other stuff because it's just so involved. You know, if you want to follow that company, like you're spending 15 hours a week watching stuff.
Yeah, we do an entire show on it on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. We'll talk a little bit about Double or Nothing later, but news breaking overnight. How do we put this? El Grande Americano, a.k.a. Ludwig Kaiser, a.k.a. Marcel Bartel, arrested for battery, bonded out 10 days before his biggest match of his career. Not domestic violence. Sean Ross Sapp had the report. Apparently, he and a companion were on their way up an elevator when they were possibly being amorous on said elevator with someone else in the elevator. And that guy got off the elevator and said, "That was very rude. You should be more considerate." Marcel Bartel then took this as an invitation to fight.
Yeah.
Ended up in prison. Now, I'm just saying this.
Well, he didn't go to prison. He didn't.
No. He went to jail, and then they
did. He really? Him out. Oh, I just thought I just thought they charged him after.
You get
the
arrested.
Fact. Okay.
You get arrested. You go to the hooscow for a bit. You pay your $1,000, and then you get a nice high priced attorney to do it to time served, and you do a couple of public service announcements. That's what being a celebrity is like. I'm just saying, Paul, Marcel Bartel, fairly good looking dude.
Yeah,
probably has a fairly good-looking lady friend, perhaps, that he is dating at this time.
Her name is Andrea, the one he's dating. I hope that was the one in the elevator with him.
Okay. I don't know who he is currently dating.
She's in the angle with him in AAA. She's like the ring announcer, interview girl or something.
I hope so, too. I have not read anything about that. I'm just saying, my man. You need to be locked in. I apologize to that guy later. This is not the time to be fighting. You have other things on your mind. If you are thinking about fighting at a time like this, my dog.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think something like this would keep him from traveling, but if it did, like, wow, that's
it might, especially in this environment. I mean, the arrest. Go ahead.
So I'm reading a report on it now. It says he had been reported as dating Andrea Bazarte, but it's unclear whether or not they are still a pair. The reason I bring this up is because I just watched this past weekend's AAA. And she is part of this angle. And he mentioned, like, "I'm doing it for Mexico. I'm doing it for the fans. I'm doing it for Andrea."
Yeah, not no more. He ain't. No, I don't
well,
know.
Well, I don't know. It could have been her in the elevator. Like,
I took a look at the marketing. My friend BFC sent me the poster where it's kind of plugging it as a telenovela type thing. I thought that was cool. Oh, yeah. But my man, it's 10 days before the biggest match of your career. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, just fly right, you know.
Yeah, and, everything. Yeah. Honor is overrated. Just stay.
Yeah.
I was making out in the elevator. I'm guessing there was a little bit of booze involved. Let me just state that.
Perhaps, yeah. A little bit of liquid courage.
Apologize and just say, "Look, man, sorry for making a scene in the elevator. How about that? Just do that later. Now's not the time to fight for."
I would say, I know, I'm sure a lot of people, if he does end up wrestling on this show, which I expect he will, anybody that's complaining about it, I hope they complained just as loud when Cash Wheeler was allowed to do the All-In match after having the gun charges on him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
this is so less, though. I mean, this is.
Oh, yeah. This is, I mean, this is so minor, you know?
Yeah.
But it is. I mean, it's an annoyance.
It's something. And it's a black eye on you know, they always.
And it's the kind of thing where if he wasn't as hot as he is right now in AAA, see ya.
Yeah. Like, WWE has this thing where it's like, "You're representing the company at all times," kind of a thing, like when you went on school field trips. So, and I could see that too. But
I was trying to think of a name, like if this was Shiloh Hill, you know, like maybe that's a bad example because I think they really like him, but you know, like somebody, you know, who is
Jake
not
Atlas.
There you go.
Although that was domestic violence. That's a little
well,
bit.
Well, that was, and there was some other stuff there too.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's not do that.
But if it
was like, I was just going to say another name that was
Tama Tonga, some guy on that level.
Yeah. Well, no, Tama Tonga is being used, but somebody like Akira Tozawa or something, you know, like something like that, you know, like where.
I can't see Akira Tozawa ever getting into like a
no. Akira Tozawa would be the one probably saying to the other guy, "Hey, you're,
although you're Bill Watts, there, aren't you?" Bill Watts would get Marcel Bartel a raise, probably.
Oh so. Yeah, yeah. His partner just showed up on national TV. His old partner. Yeah. Did you see that? Yeah. Hear about that?
Yeah, he's on TV.
Maybe an Eichner. Yeah, yeah.
Mick Foley reported as signing with AEW. He'll be part of the buy-in this weekend. You and I had a conversation about this.
We did.
You think he's going to be an on-screen authority figure, and you hope that it's a serious one. I, on the other hand, have argued that if he is on-screen as an authority figure, it's going to be the cheap pop slash getting laughs backstage with a table in a makeshift office, Mick Foley. Have you had time to change your mind and come along to my way of thinking yet?
Well, no. I mean, what you're saying. I mean, it could be true. And if it is, then I definitely don't want to see that. All I wanted to, all when I suggested it again, I will reiterate for those that, didn't hear us, is I just wanted him to basically replace Tony Khan on screen. Yeah. Anytime Tony Khan is on screen, anytime Tony Khan is mentioned on screen, it would be Mick Foley instead of Tony Khan. So as much as Tony Khan is on TV right now, that's how much I'd want to see Mick Foley, which is not a lot.
No, you
know, but I will say whenever Tony Khan's on TV, it's embarrassing.
Yes. A great example of what he should be is Nick Bockwinkel from WCW.
Yes. Yes. Nick Bockwinkel from Wally Carbo from AWA, Jack Tunney from WWE, you know, like not even Carlos Silva in TNA.
No, he's on too much. I think
he's on almost every show.
Yeah.
Definitely not Adam Pearce or Nick Aldis or Robert
Jim Crockett
Stone.
Jr. When Jim Crockett Jr. would come out, it'd be boring, it'd be dull, but it would mean something every time.
Almost like Chris Daniels was doing for a little while, but maybe even a little bit less than that.
Less. Just a tad less. Yeah. Just as a non-player character, NPC. Don't be.
And then the thing is, he probably isn't going to be there every week. No. So it, you know, in more ways than not, like a lot of times, in terms of NPC, they'd be referring to him when he's not even there. Like it's like, oh, Mick Foley just made this match for Wednesday night, you know, and it's like, oh, he did he? I thought he was in, all staff Arizona doing a book signing, whatever, Flagstaff, Arizona.
There you go. Yeah. I saw people argue whether or not he was going to take a bump. I'm like, are you guys nuts? No, he's not going to take a bump.
I mean, there's people that probably want him to, and I'm sure part of him wants to, but no.
Also on last night's Dynamite, it was announced Willow Nightingale out for an undetermined amount of time. She's out of the Owen and also will be relinquishing the TBS title.
Yeah.
You and I on a show last week both opined that there were going to be maybe a couple of replacements due to injuries vis-a-vis the originally announced participants of the Owen. But now we have the TBS title to also think about. Mercedes is definitely on one of these. I don't know which one.
I'm not even sure of that yet, but okay. I guess we'll find out. Yeah.
I mentioned to you today online, this would be wouldn't be the worst place in the world to bring back Rio.
No. I in fact, I had brought her up on a different show that I do with Garrett Gonzalez called The Takedown, where we were talking about, you know, who could possibly replace Saray and or Persephone when, you know, they were announced for the tournament and they're supposedly both injured as well. I thought Riho was a name. And then, you know, we kind of like the problem is with her. And I agree, like it'd be a good name. It's diminishing returns. Like every time they bring her back, she's a little less over than she was before because she's a little further away from being that 24-year-old who looked like she was 14. Uh-huh. Now she's a 34-year-old that looks like she's 28.
Yeah. I think she's actually 28 right now.
I think she's older than you think she is. But,
okay. Oh, is it like one of those Cuban things where they switch the birth certificate?
No. I think she was just, older than we thought when she started. Oh no, you're right. Oh. She's 28.
Yeah. So I looked it up this morning.
Okay. So she was, okay. So that, when did the AEW start? In 2019. So she was 22 when it started.
I jumped on a suggestion of yours in my mind. Okay. That would be a good idea. Because what you need...
I had a good idea.
You always have good ideas. You had the best idea for that Jericho character I'd ever heard. Chevy Chase. Yeah. And I gave you credit on this show. But the... If we're going to hypothetically see what we had with Harley Cameron, one of these would be the place for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like marketing, maybe she's frustrated about losing and losing her partner, losing her tag team. She's out to prove that she's got it still. And it wasn't just, she's riding Willow's coattails. Now she's going to, you know, win the title. Yeah. Yeah. You could, there's a story there.
We need a marketable babyface in this division. And like I said, again, I just think they're going to go with what they think is right and possibly another Chris Statlander refurb. And I'm not interested in that personally. But Alex Windsor, to me, your reasoning of her and Will having a moment at Wembley, It has legs, I think.
So her winning the Owen, and then that scenario would also involve Mercedes not being in the Owen, but coming back to challenge Tekla for the title and beating her for the title.
Yeah.
So you would do Mercedes and Alex Windsor, and they do have a history. Mm-hmm. Alex Windsor beat Mercedes for one of those, you know, 13 belts that Mercedes had, in England, I believe. Or it might be the other way around. It was Mercedes beat her, one of those two, or maybe both. But yeah, there is a history there with those two.
Yep.
And I both agree Mercedes is better as a heel.
Yes. Well, I do think so. But boy, I'd like to kind of see her as fiery babyface Mercedes just to see what she could do. But she has natural. How do I put this? I'm not being derogatory when I say that.
She has a natural unlikability.
She has natural bitch instincts.
Yeah, and the thing is, her character, when she is the most entertaining, is the character you love to,
yes,
you love to hate. She's obnoxious. She's arrogant. She's good, and she knows it. And that is the best Mercedes. And we love to watch her.
The Sasha Banks character. We all
the boss, love it. The CEO. It's not a babyface character.
No.
When you try to do that character as a babyface, it doesn't work.
Yeah, DMD has the same problem. She just can't come back as a babyface ever because she just has
no
natural snark to her, and you just can't get rid of that. Interesting to end on this. Baron Corbin looks to be coming back to the WWE.
Yeah.
That is a man that has grown on me.
Okay. Have you watching a lot of Bishop Dyer? Or?
I have not watched a lot of Bishop Dyer. I got to be honest with you. But I always thought he has. When we watched Proving Ground on this show, we were like, God, the guy that's on this show is far more interesting than the guy they put on TV. The guy who was collecting skulls and things like that. He has a weird, natural, what I like to call anti-charisma. And I don't know what it is, but it's like you watch him on TV and he's not a good actor. He's not a great presence in terms of being a public speaker. But there's something about him that you just can't stop watching him at times. Because when he's talking and stuff, he has kind of a monotone delivery on his lines. He doesn't get very passionate in his lines. He doesn't have a lot of emotion. But he's also, you watch him and you go, he's not fake either. That's the weird thing.
Yeah.
Now, the rumor is he's the big Danhausen. Because they both have chest tattoos. And I was thinking that was going to be Omos. I thought they were going to bring back Omos to be the giant thing. But the rumor is that he's the guy that's being made in the lab by Danhausen. Yeah.
I will say I liked my idea of him as muscle for Ricky Starks better.
Yes.
Okay. Number one, I think he'll figure out a way to make it work.
Yes,
but the problem is that it is a one note gimmick. So when it's done, he's probably done again. but I will say he, so I kind of like, I'm kind of like you. I watched him for years and I saw Proving Ground. It was the guy, the actual guy, whatever his name is, Poston.
Tom Postop.
That guy is more entertaining than Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
But he was floundering. He had some bad gimmicks. He tried to make them work. And then they sent him back to NXT and they put him in that tag team with Bron Breakker.
Oh, that was so good.
No one remembers this, but no, people remember the tag team, but no one remembers before the tag team, Bron Breakker wasn't doing great. No. Everyone looked at him like the future. He was this, but he wasn't getting over to the level that he needed to be over at. And Braun helped him get there.
Oh, you mean, you call them Braun, but
I'm talking about Braun.
No, Braun didn't help. No. You're talking about
Baron helped him get there. Baron helped Braun get there.
Yeah. Everybody hated the name. They wanted him to be a Steiner. They thought this is
what were they called?
Stupid.
The War Dogs?
The Lone Wolves.
The Lone Wolves. Yeah. No, was that it? Yeah. Okay.
Or the Wolf.
Yeah. Cause that was a dumb name. Yeah. It was a dumb name, but it worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not the Lone Wolves. He was the Lone Wolves.
Yeah. He was the Lone Wolf. He was the dog face. So they called themselves the Wolf Dogs, didn't they? Wasn't that the name?
Oh, it might be the Wolf Dogs. Tag team name. I'm going to
go for it because we're floundering GBT. Here.
Yeah, the Wolf Dogs. The Wolf Dogs.
Thank
You're right.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because, yeah, he wanted to call them the Lone Wolves. And that's stupid.
Yes.
And, yeah. And then, and then that's when he started doing the best spear in the business gimmick, and he was firing up, and that's when the fans started doing the woof, woof, woof. Like, it, yeah, and then he clicked. And then he didn't need Baron anymore, and they cut him. Yeah.
It would be interesting if they brought him back to be Bron Breakker's tag partner instead, because they're not ready to push him up. Because I think Oba's getting that inside track to be.
Yeah,
the guy
he's
to
actually doing really well in AAA. From what I've seen. Yeah. He's got a great presence.
I told you I was going to do this today. I watched this Raw.
Oh yeah, I watched half of it.
Well, I'm happy you could get through half of it. To be honest with you,
I liked what I saw.
I have. Oh, are you okay? Because I have come to a weird conclusion.
Okay.
And everybody says that Vince McMahon liked to go back to the Attitude Era because that was when he was on top, et cetera, et cetera. I have come to the conclusion that Triple H, in terms of booking mind, I think he's stuck in the Ruthless Aggression Era because that was when he was on. Really on top. Like, don't get me wrong, he was a star during the Attitude Era, but once he could finally get rid of, you know, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker and Austin and The Rock, and he was the guy as John Cena was on the come up, he really likes those types of angles. Because I'm watching this and I'm getting angry because I'm watching the Seth Rollins story and I'm watching the Roman Reigns story, and to me they're the same story. Nobody trusts the guys that used to be heels. And so all the baby faces have to get angry about this. And all the baby faces are coming off as jerks. LA Knight's coming off as a jerk. We're teasing another breakup of the Street Profits when we just brought them back.
And seemingly they're about to win the tag team titles. Or maybe not.
I couldn't believe we brought back the Street Profits to rev up and the possible split that they were doing in SmackDown.
Unless Montez opened some eyes in that tag match, that six man they had last week, and they've decided, hey, you know what? There's more in Montez as a single than there is in this tag team. It's possible.
That was true 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's true 4 years ago, but maybe they just figured it out. No, I get what you're saying. But when you talk about that, like, I don't remember that in the Ruthless Aggression Era, but then again, I don't really remember a lot of the Ruthless Aggression Era.
No, it was just a lot of people. You remember, like they were, I mean, there were a lot of open challenges. There were a lot of, you know what, you need to show Ruthless Aggression, get over. Yeah. And you know, even back, I mean, on screen and backstage, it was all about there aren't any good guys. Everybody has to just look out for themselves. Nobody has friends.
And every time a team got together, they were starting to break up.
Yes. Like, every time. We don't. Yeah. Stipulations don't matter because, I mean, It's funny because on Wrestling Observer Radio, they're talking about the filing of paperwork, and that's the most sane part of the Brock Lesnar comeback story, because in sports leagues, when you retire, you have to file paperwork, so you're not actually under contract. And that's the part that made most sense. Nothing else about that makes sense, because there's no reason to have to give Brock a win over Obafemi, or to make Obafemi show ass against Brock Lesnar.
They told a perfect story. They got a guy over.
Yes.
And now they're trying to figure out a way to get him under.
This is like, dumb. This is dumb. And
So when you told me that there were parallels in the way they were booking, that's what I thought you were talking about. I thought you were talking about Oba and Jacob Fatu.
Okay, that too, then. There you go.
Yeah, because Jacob Fatu, I mean, and this is your Ruthless Aggression parallel. He's a MAGA. Like,
yes.
he's exactly a MAGA. You know, to the point where he's like doing the guy's moves. I mean, I know they're related. I think they're related.
They're putting it over on commentary. Shades of, I forget
Umaga.
The relation is
or
of
Eddie Fatu, like, right? That was his name.
Umaga.
Right?
They would say, yeah, Shades of Umaga, who was his whatever.
Uncle, cousin.
Yes.
Loosely affiliated Samoan.
I mean, I'm watching that, and then the thing that actually set me off in the beginning was we have the Jacob Fatu Roman Reigns tete-a-tete. And tribal combat, which is anything goes for the Ulafala or whatever it's called. Okay, great. What do we follow that with? Street fight, which is anything goes between
now,
the judgment.
I will say, I would watch that JD Finn match 100 times before I would ever watch that Ciampa Briscoe match again.
Okay. I get that.
Yeah, like it's just more my style. But I do have problems with both. Number one, both matches would have been better without the stipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I hate when the heels' friends come in during these matches. And this is a WWE trope. And the announcer says, the official is powerless to do anything about it. And
the
then
hell he is.
And then it didn't even work. So now the Judgment Day look like idiots. Instead of it should be Finn, the story should be Finn overcame the odds. It's like, no, the Judgment Day are bumbling fools.
Yes.
Like that's your takeaway.
It gives them no heft as heels. It just makes them
correct. Yeah. And when they're walking, you know what hit me too? They're walking in the backstage area. They're all holding hands. Like they're in like kindergarten. And little JD McDonough is standing taller than everybody else in that group. I don't know how they shot this, but because I don't think he is.
I don't either.
But in this shot, he was significantly taller than anyone else.
He looked like Damian Priest had rejoined.
It was weird. It was
so
weird.
I get you. It's just, I'm just.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know if he's wearing lifts or if it's just the way they shot it, but it was, I guess it's because he had a match and they wanted to make him look good, but it was weird.
Like the one force of pure goodness in WWE is Joe Hendry. And I don't care about Joe Hendry. Like Joe Hendry should be
Javon.
Yeah, Javon, but they always just book him to lose. It's
now
ridiculous.
Now let me ask you this. Because I didn't have a I didn't finish the show yet. Did Javon have a match?
No, they just said they were in his hometown.
Okay. So they were in his hometown. They pushed that he was born and raised there.
Yes.
And they didn't give him a match.
Correct.
Okay. Just checking.
Well, you know, there's still time. He's in his early 20s.
Yeah. Okay. But and to be fair, I would bet you most of the people in the building probably didn't know he was from Greensboro.
Yeah. It's
the first I heard of it. Like, I didn't know where he's from. I never thought of it.
I took kind of a post WrestleMania report card type thing of changes and moves that they've made. And the one thing that they're doing really well is on SmackDown, and that's Fatal Influence.
Yes.
I think they're doing a great job with JC. Like, it's weird to me because I thought as soon as they got there that Fallon Henley, they'd take a look at her and go, she's $1 million. And everybody thought she was going to be a breakout star when she was doing that thing with Izzy, with who did she do the, when she was a baby face before she turned heel, she
Are you talking about the angle with it was her and Kiana?
Yeah, I guess
where
it was
she was
Keanu,
like owned the
right.
bar, and yes. and Keanu was yeah. trying to buy her bar, and yeah.
well,
she had the
no,
virgin
saying, like,
the and the fornicator.
The stables when they were in the stables.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and she it was Blake. No, not Blake Monroe. It was Tiffany.
Tiffany.
She had
Stratton.
Tiffany as her slave. She beat her, yes. and she had to work.
They did the Jimmy Garvin Von Erich thing.
Yeah, except they didn't do enough of it.
But
there was only one
actually. They're actually a competent trio. Their crime is they're on a show where they're pushing the baddies as a competent trio, and you're just like, what are we doing, guys? You can't have two of the same. Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
Well, okay, the difference there is these three are presented more as equals than Jade and her crew are.
And Lady Reed's done a great job. I mean,
she got put in there quick
out of Evolve. And then, look, she was always going to be better than Jasmine Nix in the ring.
You know what's funny? I looked back because I was trying to see, I was looking for something else, and I happened to find a comment I made about Lainey Reed. And it's funny because I put this picture up, and it was Callie Armstrong. And this is the first time I saw Callie Armstrong. And I said, keep an eye on this woman. She's going to be big. And this was about a year ago.
Yeah.
And in the screen with her was Lainey Reed. And somebody asked me, why is she talking to Britt Baker? And I guess, and she looked a little like Britt Baker in this picture. And I'm like, oh, no, that's Lainey Reed. She's Lacey Evans 2.0. She's not very good, but she's going to get every chance to succeed that other women don't. That was my comment about her. So I don't know how fortuitous that's been, but she definitely was called up way early. And so far, she has not proven them wrong. So good on her, I suppose.
And I actually, you know what? I will give a high mark to them holding off on debuting. I always forget her name. Blake Monroe.
Okay.
I always want to call her Mariah May. I think they had to do that to then finally kind of clear the deck a bit with the cuts, get the Kiana Julia breakup out of the way, even though I thought that was a pretty decent pairing, to be honest with you.
Where do you think she lands?
Get Tiffany Stratton possibly over on Raw, I think. Who, Blake Monroe?
Yeah.
I think SmackDown. I think they've
No, I mean, where who is she going to be programmed with?
Whoever the mid-card champ is.
So at this point, Tiffany.
Probably Tiffany, yeah.
That's like a Spider-Man meme feud.
Yeah, it kind of is. But I think the answer to that is Stratton loses the title and jumps over to Raw. I think during the draft.
Yeah.
I think
Tiffany would do
well. They need to get her hot again, and that's how you do it. You get the Tiffy time stuff going on Raw. You do that. I'm gonna tell you something that I never thought I'd say a year ago. I think Kiana James might be the star of that and the Julia pairing.
Oh well, I mean, clearly they think that.
And that's just due to the on-screen charisma. I mean, look, I love both of them, and Kiana James is
Julia is a lot better in the ring. Yes, but Kiana is fine, and Kiana's got a lot more on-screen charisma than Julia does. Unfortunately, because Julia, before she got there, I thought she was a can't miss. Like when I saw her in New Japan,
and I think you know what really happened is that when they brought her and Stephanie up at the same time, Stephanie was obviously the one clicking a little bit better with the charisma, and they need to keep Julia down there. Kind of, I'm not going to make an apples to apples thing, but kind of like how they did with Asuka, where they left
her
down there.
I was thinking the exact same name. So yeah,
make her a buzzsaw, make her a killer down there, make her get used to doing promos in broken English. And then bring her up as a killer, as opposed to how they did it. But you know, this is what
pairing her up with somebody to cut promos for her.
Yes.
A week after she got there was that told you what they thought of her,
right? And unfortunately, like Kiana wasn't going to be the second banana either, because she's improved.
Yeah.
Since being in NXT and being brought up as well,
the comparison I make with Kiana is Kiana is what Brandi Rhodes wanted to be.
Yes, yeah, very much so. And, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, do we want to do a little bit more Dynamite? Or do we want to go into do that during the Double or Nothing preview?
You decide.
That's true. Let's do Saturday Night's main event.
Okay.
A nothing show that became even more nothing this week when they took away the Intercontinental Women's match. That's the one that they're doing. They took the belt off as a stipulation. Weird. I forgot. Okay. Tiffany is United States champion, right?
I believe so. Yes.
So Becky Lynch and Sol Ruka is now just a singles match.
Okay.
It's in the lovely Berg, actually, Rob's area of Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he has made mention of this. It's like, why would anybody go to Fort Wayne? It's not a big city. Some interesting stuff here, though, because this is where they have decided to dump a lot of the mid-card titles to make this a thing worth watching only on Peacock. But five-match show, starting with, for the Women's Tag Team Championship, Paige and Brie Bella versus the irresistible forces of Lash Legend and Nia Jax, who had the best entrance on Mania and then nothing. And you're like, wow, okay, they're back on the back burner. Paige and Brie Bella have been nothing to write home about as champions, in my opinion.
I'd agree.
And there's a lot of moving parts to this feud kind of a thing with these tag titles, because they keep on putting Bird Lady and Bailey right up into it. And it's just like, are we going to belt them or not? Are we going to break up Bella and Paige to get Nikki involved so she can be a tag champion and put that she had every belt on her resume, because that's why they were going to put them on her in the first place? What happens here, Paul?
I think we got to do a title change.
Do you? Okay.
I do. Yeah. Because I will say, when Brie Bella's music hits, I'm like, that's my reaction every time. Like, I'm sorry. I like Brie. She's a nice lady, but her and Paige feel like completely out of place.
Yes.
In 2026, and especially as champions, and the matches that they're having, I mean, they're bad. Like, they're not up to the standard that exists on North American television in 2026, unfortunately.
I continue to say that a lot of the problem with Paige is that so many European fans had so much emotional interest in her succeeding that they can't see that she's never going to get to where they think that she is. I think they lose, and I think the Bellas turn on Paige here. I don't know.
I could see that. Yeah. And I mean, and honestly, the Irresistible Forces are a really good tag team. You know, Lash Legend in particular has improved a lot. Nia is better than people give her credit for.
Nia's very much better than they give credit for, but she's never going to be great. That's the problem.
No,
it's like,
she doesn't need to be in that role.
No, she's a monster. These are monsters. Yeah. Let them be a monster team. Yeah,
and Lash Legend is more of like a Charlotte Flair, you know, a little bit, you know, obviously more muscular and everything, and probably a little bit taller, but, you know, like, she's more of the workhorse in that group. She's the animal, or she's the hawk, and yes. Nia's the animal.
Okay, good, because I was pondering changing both tag straps on this show, so I'm not alone in that. But
okay, I'm not sure about the other ones, but
I'm not sure anymore, to be honest with you. But it gives them an angle to do, especially if they do the tag breakup.
Although they usually don't change these titles.
Not on Saturday Night's Main Event and not on Peacock, but I think the women's tag titles are low enough on the pecking order that you do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. And we get it here. It's YouTube in Canada.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch and Sol Ruka.
Well, the fact that it's non-title makes me think Sol's probably going to win.
Yes. That is obvious to me as well. And I think Sol...
And she has to, because she's lost her first two matches.
They made her story, you haven't won a match since getting brought up. I can't believe they did. That's another part of the book. Don't say, oh, you kind of suck, you need to go back to NXT. No.
Well, and they're doing the exact same thing on SmackDown with Ricky Starks.
Yes.
Ricky Saint. Yeah, he lost his first two matches.
Again, we're having parallel lives all over the place of these things. Now, Sol last time on Saturday Night's Main Event had a pretty damn good match against Bailey.
Yeah,
but Bailey
is a retirement show, right?
Yeah, but Bailey Bailey is the best nuts and bolts female they have on the roster. Becky,
she's got a big match coming up next weekend.
Who?
Bailey, AAA.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah, that's
her Lola and Catalina against Toxic Trio, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
La Toxicas. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
I think this will be a good match. Like, I mean, looking at
Becky,
the card.
You know who Becky Lynch is? Becky Lynch is the John Moxley of WWE.
Of the women's division, sure.
Yeah,
of the
I can lose. I'm going to lose this one to the kid, give it the big win. But when it matters, I'm going to beat him.
Yeah, that was. I mean, her promo. I mean, she. There was no lies detected. She basically said everything that the truth that you didn't want to hear. That was Becky.
Yeah.
And then she does her, you know, like, oh, I'm the greatest. And that's not just me saying
it. Everybody says it. Yeah. Paul says
she got
it.
A ton of heat, though. And that wasn't even the best crowd, but she got great heat.
Although Sol is holding her own on the stick. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I? Okay. You know, when she came out there and she's standing in the middle of the ring and the camera's focused on her, and she's in the middle of the ring by herself for a split second. I thought I was looking at Lillian Garcia. And I was like, she looks like she could be Lillian's daughter. And then someone's like, she doesn't look Hispanic. And I'm like, well, never thought Lillian did either. you know, even though I know she was. I know Sol is half black, but I just, for whatever reason, I think they.
I believe Ruka is Hispanic. So.
Oh, is she? Oh, okay.
No. The name. Six-woman tag match. Thoughts and prayers. Rhea Ripley.
It'll be short.
Pretty good people in this match. So Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, and Alexa Bliss.
Three and a half.
Versus Jade Cargill.
Oh, Mishin? Is that your pretty good one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mishin's all right.
I think B-Fab can bring it when she needs to. I don't think she's terrible. I really don't. I think she's improved. The problem is her and Maxine Dupri have a problem in that they got brought up way too quick, and there's no learning curve on the main roster. You got to be good, or you're just...
Well, and I honestly, like, I don't know why anybody ever thought B-Fab needed to be a wrestler. Like, right. she there's a role that she can fill in this company that doesn't involve her wrestling. And
but they
she
don't
did
like
it
having
in
those
NXT.
Roles in yeah, but they don't like having those roles in WWE. No. Why are we paying her just to not do wrestling? You know, it's the...
Because it helps get your money people over.
Yes.
Like, I the best use of her was when she was with Swerve in NXT.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just... Yes. It's just one of those things where it's like, I thought Triple H would be able to see, yes, some people can be money without getting in the ring, but there's that old Vince mentality that, why are we paying someone this much money? I'm just like, ugh. The Vision. Logan Paul and Austin Theory, one star and one not. I'm just going to say that. I am so done with Austin Theory in anything because he's not doing anything different ever. Versus the Street Profits of Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford for the World Tag Team Championships. All right, two-part question. Do the Street Profits win and do Dawkins and Ford stay together?
Well, I think those two things are tied together. So
they are.
If they
That's
win,
why it's a two-part question.
Yeah, if they win, then that means they stay together. And if they lose, it's probably because they broke up. I haven't seen whatever you're talking about yet in terms of, you know, teasing a break.
I will give you the cliff notes.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it.
Montez Ford does not trust Seth Rollins.
Okay, yeah, that I know. Yeah.
Well, they just continued it the next week because...
Okay, but he's getting more and more aggressive every week, right? Well, I did see this.
Dawkins came out to save Seth, and when he got his ass beat, that made Montez have to come out and say, gotcha. "See, I told you so." After he got his butt kicked,
and that was in the main event. So yeah, so I definitely didn't see it then. Yeah, okay. I mean, initially I thought, okay, this match was booked so that the Street Profits would win the belts. The problem here is this tag team division on both brands has been decimated.
Yeah, by the cuts. They cut nothing but tag teams.
Well, not only that, but they're
using tag teams to feed the Oba Femi.
Yeah, or they're sending them to AAA. You know, like War Raiders somehow survived the cut. And meanwhile, they're doing good stuff in AAA. Like,
where is A-Kid and Nathan Frazier?
They were on Main Event last week. And I was expecting them to lose, but they actually won. It was against Sean Spears and Nico Vance. And so when that match started, I'm like, okay, if Sean Spears and Nico Vance win this thing, like, they're gone. Like, these guys aren't going to last the show, even though it was taped, but they actually won. And it was pretty much a squash.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least, you know, they're beating Sean Spears and Nico Vance. I mean,
okay. So I actually think the Vision may retain here. I don't think they break up. I think they keep teasing it. I think it's going to eventually be a War Games of some kind, and they're just going to extend this through November somehow.
Seth and
Seth, the Street Profits.
L.A. Knight.
Yeah, I don't know if L.A. Knight gets thrown to the wolves after losing to everybody in the bloodline.
Yeah.
So
maybe they bring Sheamus back, put him in there.
And then in an AEW Rampage main event, that's my joke, Penta versus Ethan Page for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. I do
you
like
spelled, Ethan. You spelled AEW Dark wrong. But yeah,
I do like, but I do like Ethan Page a lot,
yeah.
Man. I think he's just so solid. Whatever you ask him to do, no matter what level you put him at, he's just, he's going to bring his naturally swarmy character. His size always gives him legitimacy. I have nothing but respect for the way he became a body guy during the pandemic. Penta's just Penta. I mean, I was making fun of this when we were doing AEW and he was doing Sports Entertainment Penta. He's just going to do his thing and it's still going to get over. So there's nothing wrong with that. I don't see Ethan Page winning this though.
If you're talking like Moneyball, Ethan Page might be the best signing that WWE's done in like the last 10 years. Because he was brought in as like nothing. Like, you know, they probably got him on the lowest deal possible. They brought him in from AEW with like zero buzz. People were like, why would you sign Ethan Page? And he's been doing great. Like, he's so outkicked his expectations. It's not even funny. Like, I can't think of anyone that has done better in terms of who?
LA Knight. Nobody ever, I mean, that dude was cut and they brought him back and he almost became a main eventer. If they had put the rocket to him at the right time,
maybe,
he would have been main
You know what? Maybe I'll give you that one. Maybe
and
I'll
even
that
say
one. Yeah.
Danhausen, who is a money machine for that company right now.
Yeah. Except. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Ethan Page in terms of coming in as an NXT guy and now being on a main
like
roster
who
thing,
thought he was going to escape NXT? Who
no,
thought
nobody.
He wasn't going to be Sean
we thought
Spears?
We thought he was going to be a lifer there. Yeah.
Like Sean Spears, like, you know, and Sean Spears is like, you know, I mean, he's nothing, but that's exactly what we expected. So I can't say he's a disappointment. It's
no,
like,
he came back to do the trainer, help the young kids roll. So nobody
he's
ever
exactly
expected
where
him.
He's exactly where he was in AEW. And if they had signed QT Marshall, that's exactly what QT Marshall would be doing right
yes,
now.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although QT Marshall might be over in NXT.
Oh,
he has strong instincts in terms of personality.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he would have been Ethan Page. Who knows?
I wouldn't mind Ethan winning this. I really
wouldn't. No, you know what? When they first booked this match, I thought they were booking a title change, but now that I see that it's headlining a Saturday Night's Main Event that Penta's on the poster for,
there's no way in hell they're gonna do it now.
No, I don't think so. I think it's good. There's gonna be interference from Rusev and
Javon,
and yeah, interesting. Yeah. No Javon on this show, but
well, they're eventually gonna have to get the title off of Penta so that they can put it on a guy like Javon. Because they're not going to have him pin a Penta. They're going to have him pin a guy like Ethan Page. So
they may even change that title in Mexico.
Oh.
Because he defends it in Mexico quite a bit.
Okay. I could see that. And maybe Ethan Page does the North American gimmick down there.
Yeah. Okay. And he was one half of the Triple A mixed tag team champions.
Yes, with Chelsea Green, which was so... That's such a great pairing.
And they lost to Lola Vice and Mr. Iguana, who... To be fair, are a pretty good pairing too.
They are a pretty good pairing. I gotta give them that.
Yeah.
So we'll go from there to the pay-per-view on Sunday. 30 hours of wrestling coverage.
Yeah.
It's like a Jerry Lewis telethon. You know, it's a holiday weekend. Everybody has Monday off. Screw it. Let's go really, really late. But it's in New York.
And
I think
screw
there's
those Canadians.
Screw the East Coasters. Who needs them?
Yeah.
Right now, 9 matches announced, nothing for the buy-in yet. I'm kind of surprised.
I believe you're out of date.
Am I? What was added for the buy-in?
Divine Dominion against Zeta Steel and Viva Van.
Holy God almighty. Okay, that's not yet.
We're not done. We pondered last night.
Hold on. We need to do this one at a time.
I want your instant reaction to this one. We pondered last night what Mark Briscoe and or Tommaso Ciampa could possibly be doing to necessitate them having that hardcore match that they had last night.
Okay.
So what did that build to, you might ask? Well, logically speaking, Mark Briscoe will be teaming with Orange Cassidy, Roderick Strong, the aforementioned, who we just spoke about, QT Marshall.
What?
And Big Boom AJ.
Of course.
As they take on Shane Taylor Promotions, which consists of Shane Taylor, Anthony Ogogo, the Captain Sean Dean, Carly Bravo, and Lee Moriarty.
I almost dropped an F-bomb here.
I'm not making that up. And we're not done, by the way. There's more.
You know what this screams? This screams Tony forgot that Big Boom AJ's from Jersey and yes! we can have him on the show. Good
yes,
God.
Yes.
Number one, Divine
Dominion. And who do we get to team with him? What in warm bodies we got standing around?
Yeah.
I will say they did set up something with the conglomeration and the infantry. They did set that up. So this isn't completely out of the blue.
That FTR conglomeration tag match last night was phenomenal.
It was really good. When you consider the fact that not a person on the planet could have thought that FTR was losing, given that they were going to be defending, the fact that it had the heat that it did.
Orange Cassidy played Ricky Morton, and it was awesome.
Yeah. And Roderick Strong was, Roderick Strong was Roderick Strong. Third match on the buy-in.
Oh, my God. Okay.
The Ops, consisting of Anthony Bowens, Hook, and Katsuyori Shibata, taking on the Death Riders, Claudio Castagnoli, Daniel Garcia, and Wheeler Yuta. We have 12 now in total on the show.
You'll hear those first notes of the Death Riders, and I'll just go, oh, God.
You're actually going to watch the pre-show?
But I always end up watching the pre-show and putting it on because I just go, oh, it's 3 o'clock. I should put something on. And then
I do because I don't watch live. And when I go back to on my AEW, they have them all together. So
have we not booked just, Paul?
You
Walter
see that
Hauser
runtime
yet?
At the end, 6 hours and 4 minutes. What?
Yeah, I said, have we not booked Paul Walter Hauser yet in a match?
No, amazingly not. No, I don't think he's on the show.
They may have gotten mad at him for trying to
he's going to be on AEW television, though, because he's playing Mick Foley in a movie, right?
Oh, that's right. I mean, it's weird because they took time off of him after they left LA and he signed with MLW and he was doing stuff. I think he was fronting, I want to say House of Glory, but I don't think that's right. He's moneying one of the smaller promotions. It might be Championship Wrestling from Irvine out here.
Okay.
I don't know which one, but I thought that was going to be the end of, because they were originally teasing him versus QT. So QT could go through the motions with him. And then they just dropped it. But you know what? Now that he's playing Foley.
Yeah. Yep, there's going to be some cross promotion.
Yeah. I'm there with that. So are those the three?
Those are the three right now.
Looking forward to seeing Megan Bain on my television as usual.
Viva Van and
Viva Zeta Van. And oh God,
they go from headlining the ROH pay-per-view the week before, because they were, oh no, it was only Zeta Steel. Viva Van was in an earlier match.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is a title eliminator or that 5-minute deal that they're doing, that they survive it. I think
they could, because I mean, I joked the other, when the match was going on, we were recording our show and you mentioned the names and I'm like, oh yeah, they're jobbers or whatever. Tony Schiavone makes a comment, I'd be surprised if he lasts 2 minutes. They lasted 3 minutes and 20 seconds because these two Divine Dominion
ladies. Lena Cross
was
playing with her food.
They're playing with their food, and they may do this here too.
Okay, so then that would set things up, and I'd be fine with it. That'd be great. Yeah.
I suspect actually what we're going to get is they're going to beat them handily, and then TJ is going to challenge them, and we'll get that match on Wednesday on Dynamite.
Kind of here for that. Okay, yeah. Be honest. Yeah. If they make that a hardcore match, I'm definitely here for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lena Cross, let's see what you got, baby.
TJ, the uncrowned king, queens of hardcore AEW. Let's do this. We'd be watching that going, how could we not enjoy Mark Briscoe and Tommaso Ciampa, but enjoy this deathmatch stuff?
I don't know.
I hope they don't open with this, but they might. Okada versus Takeshita, singles match, AEW international title. What say you?
I think they'll open with the Moxley match, but
I
go back and forth on this one, but I'm leaning towards Takeshita winning and then breaking away from the Callis family, and then we get, you know, months of him defending against various family members.
I'm here with you. Let me ask you this. Has anything changed in your mindset since last night? Because I'm trying to remember what I said half the time, but we'll see.
No, not that I can think of.
Okay.
Maybe as we're going through, something will come up. But
yeah, okay. FTR, Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler with Stokely versus Cage and Cope, Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. Tag team I Quit match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. They still don't have that. This is a street fight. But if Cage and Cope lose, they must retire as a tag team. I have said that if they're just going to do Cage quits on Cope eventually, they should just do it right up on top and do a horseman beatdown. I don't think that's what's going to happen because I think New Day will be coming in and will be a part of this entire schmoz. But I do have Cage and Cope winning the World Tag Team titles.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think we likely are going to see Beth here.
Okay.
We may see Foley.
We got the watch play last night, too.
Yeah, yeah. So I did like that Christian and Cage promo.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, or Christian and Cope promo, yeah.
Yeah, I love the staging of it. I just love Christian.
Cage just standing there
he's angry and then he leans into the camera. And
I will say what he said was funny. He's like, as I've always said, and then he goes on to say something that I've never heard him say.
That
I've
he's
been
never
watching
said.
This guy for 30 years. Yeah. It was like, you come into this world looking like your parents and you go out of this world looking like your choices. It's like, I mean, it's a cool saying, but you've never said that, buddy.
Yeah, he's never said that or anything. Jericho, the Hurt Syndicate of Lashley and Benjamin and the Elite, Kenny Omega, who was not on last night. Jungle Jack Perry, Matt and Nick Jackson versus the Demand of Ricochet, Bishop Khan, and Toa Leona. The Don Callis family members, Mark Davis and Andrade El Idolo, who is awesome. And the Dogs, because why not? Clark Connors and David Finlay.
It's a shorter name than Pin Eaters. That's
Clark Connors is going to die a death and we're all going to enjoy it. And what say, who pins him?
Probably Kenny.
I'm thinking Kenny as well.
Yeah. It is funny. You mentioned we haven't seen Kenny. I don't think we've seen Kenny since his match was announced.
I agree. We have.
Yeah.
Not.
Like, I think the last match he had was when he beat Swerve and Swerve ends up coming back before him.
Prop bet, what song do they play for the first 7 minutes of this match?
If they can get it, the Alicia Keys.
There's no way in Daisy hell they're getting Alicia. I knew you were going there, and there's no way in hell that he's going to fork out the money for that. It's going to be New York, New York by Sinatra.
Okay, but what does it get interrupted with? If Foley doesn't appear in the tag match, it would be Born to Be Wild, and Foley would come out and hand the baby faces a bunch of weapons.
Okay, I'm here for that. Yeah. I thought Judas was actually going to be the song that they played for a while. I thought they might do that.
Oh, my God, I just had a thought come into my head.
Go for it.
Kenny Omega grabs a mic and says, and this is like right after Clark Connors and David Finlay do something, and he says, "Who let the dogs out?"
Oh God, no!
This is the same company that did Mbop. Come on,
tag team back again. Okay, I could see that.
Yeah, it could easily happen. Who let the dogs out?
I need to cut this music because I'm tired of this ironic stuff.
Yeah,
and I just need to know, Don Callis family. Title holders, the Demand title holders, who let the dogs out? Oh, jeez, so gonna happen.
Yeah,
you're correct.
Yeah.
You're correct, and I hate you for putting this in my head. Yeah.
It could be, you know what? It could just be Judas that starts it too.
It could be too, yeah. And then into New York, New Yorker. I was singing New York State of Mind by Billy Joel at one time, possibly.
It's a little slow.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It's too ironic. Promo of the year, Tekla 2026. If you didn't see the one that she put out on social media this week, go watch it. It involves, once again, a strip club.
Did you see the one on Twitter where she's like, She's like, yeah, people dance talk about bitches. the dumb bitches. And he's like, and I'm going to take them down. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
Tekla versus Hikaru Shida, who had the promo of her life last night.
She did. Oh, I saw a lot of praise for that one.
That she just killed it. I love this dumb character of hers versus Jamie Hayter, who's always welcome, versus my least favorite woman on the women's roster, Chris Statlander. But for reasons that, but not because of talent, just because she's there.
They're going to get way too much time, and Tekla's going to win, and we'll probably get some disagreements between Shida and Stat.
No, I think Statlander finally gets a pop by taking out Shida, and then they finally just break them up as opposed, and maybe she tries 1 week of trying to do the makeup and then they move on. Because I do think
so. Maybe she lays out Shida and walks away, and then Tekla pins her.
Or Tekla's pinning Hayter while those two brawl off into the sunset.
Could be,
yeah. But I think they might try
to protect Hayter. I feel like Hayter's going to end up in this women's Owen.
See, I have Statlander ending up in the Owen replacing Willow.
Okay. Depends if Saraya and or Persephone is actually in the tournament or not.
I have Tekla retaining. Samoa Joe versus Will Ospreay, which is going to be money.
I mean, this is the one match on the show that there's no question. I mean, there's a few others, but there's no way Will Ospreay doesn't win this.
Again, I'm looking forward to the walkaway spot because Ospreay's going to land on his feet and do something awesome to counteract that.
Will is motivated to have a great match here. First time ever for these two. This was the match that, you know, the wrestler that made Will Ospreay want to become a pro wrestler.
And if they are smart, they will do a muscle buster early. And then the story will be about Will's neck and can it hold up. That's just me.
And then you do the walkaway spot, and then Will probably taps him out with an armbar, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bandito versus Swerve Strickland. And what could actually steal the show, I think. I think Swerve could be very motivated.
I mean, Darby and MJF are going to go all out in the main event.
Yes.
And
Darby's going to be insane. But I mean, as a quote unquote.
Cottage Catch is getting 5 stars if the two guys make it to the ring. Like that, you know, that's where it starts. This could end and should be great.
Because Bandito is going to have his working boots on, and we know that.
And Bandito is one of the best out there. And Swerve is great. I can't see this being anything short of phenomenal. And Swerve should win. I think we're all expecting Swerve and Ospreay in the finals. It's possible Bandito wins, and if it does, it would just be furthering the storyline of Swerve getting frustrated. And I think actually, if Swerve loses here, it might mean that he actually is going to win the title.
Okay.
Because my scenario was Kenny winning the title and then defending against Will in Wembley. But if Swerve loses here, I could see Swerve winning the title before Wembley and then doing Swerve and Will Ospreay at Wembley. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but I think there's a small chance it does.
There's this part of me that because it's the Owen that we don't have babyface versus heel in the finals, and we have Will versus Bandito in the finals as a matter of honor to hold up that.
Or Will Brody.
Yeah, something like that.
The scenario of Will going through Samoa Joe, Mark Davis, and then Brody King, like three murderers rows. That's cool.
And that's also why I think Bandito wins and then he loses to Brody.
And I also will say, like, I meant to make this prediction last night and I didn't. And I think we're getting Will and Jon Moxley at Retribution. I think that's going to be the final test.
You did make that.
I think that's the final test for Will before he goes to Wembley.
Okay.
He's got to beat his sensei.
Birds fly. That's what they do. Hey,
that's what they do. That's what they do, man.
Be the bird. Hey, Athena versus Brody. Mira Shirakawa.
I'm going to go make some nachos while this is on. I know. I'm just kidding.
You're going to watch Athena. Mina Shirakawa in the ring? Come on.
No. They're both fun.
I love Athena. Push Athena. She deserves it. She's done her time. Bring her up. Give her the promotion. Let's go.
I don't think she's going to win this tournament, but she should at least, and I'm not even sure she's going to make the finals, but it really depends on what's happening with however you pronounce it. Her and Athena is a match that probably a lot of people want to see.
Yeah, and this women's division on the main roster needs personality, not based on boobs. Bring up Athena, please.
Yeah.
in a match that people are going to like, and this is where I'm going to go make nachos, John Moxley versus Kyle O'Reilly. This is going to be a mat-based classic for 35 minutes with John Moxley indulging his inner MMA dojo training and Kyle O'Reilly being Kyle O'Reilly. Good, but dull. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I respect the hell out of O'Reilly. I like him in tag teams better than I like him in singles. And Moxley I understand what Moxley that this has now become Moxley's kind of playground, this title type of thing. But when they say no time limit, I just go, God, why? Make this 10 minutes and let's get out of here, man.
Well, I thought the whole gimmick behind this belt was that it had a time limit, and that was part of the strategy of the champion.
Well, no, now it's if you survive, if you survive 20, it now becomes no time limit in the
title. No, but that's an eliminator match. Like, that's for every title. Like, this one, I always thought, had the 20-minute time limit. You got to beat the champ in 20 minutes or you don't have the belt. Like, that was the gimmick when they started it. And then at some point along the way, they added this no time limit thing. I think Moxley retains. I think they go over 20. And this has to start the show because otherwise it's going to kill the crowd, like wherever it's placed. Like, it's going to follow something that was way more exciting, or it's going to lead to something that is.
It's the same problem as last night where they followed Ciampa and Briscoe, and there's no way you can top that.
And then even the match that followed it had to get the crowd back
because there's not going to be any sleep. And there's not going to be any emotion in this. And that's part of the problem is nobody.
Well, no, there's emotion in this match. Like, you know, like Kylo, like that is one. No, Kyle O'Reilly is good at getting that emotion out. Moxley is the one that kind of almost treats it like comedy.
Yes. Which I will agree there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that promo that he did with Renee. I mean, there was too much comedy in that one for me.
Because every time he gets beat up or whatever, it's whatever. It's part of the job. Yeah. And you're just like, God, sell it for once, man.
Like, he should be frustrated. He should be throwing things around.
Yes.
Like, why can't I beat this guy? This freaking dork. Like, you know, like, cool Kyle. I want to take his head off. And then the Death Rider should be looking at him like, yeah. Like, what's wrong with you, dude? Like, So, yeah, I think he retains. And then, you know, we're eventually heading for a Moxley Will a confrontation.
Yeah, we have to finish that story
and I think it should be before he wins the title, not after. That's just my opinion.
Okay,
you could do it after, but
I was thinking that it's the favor that Moxley asked for after Will wins the title.
And that could be your all out main event, you know.
And then we have to cool down Moxley for a while, please.
Oh, just get long deserved vacation.
God, it's one of those things where I wanted it. Like when he had done this, I wanted the friggin' Death Riders to turn on him and then kind of go away and come back refreshed. And then just,
well, we thought that was going to happen after he lost to Kyle.
Yeah. Again.
And
actually, you know what? That if they did that, that might be forgivable. Kyle O'Reilly wins this in an unexpected turn of events. And then the Death Riders turn on Moxley.
And then what? Will Ospreay makes a save?
Yes.
Yeah, you could do that.
You know what? I am talking myself into this is the more interesting path right here. Because everybody's just like, oh, here's where he gets his win back against O'Reilly. Maybe this is the one guy that just beats. Maybe Kyle O'Reilly is the Toru Yano of AEW, and he just beats Moxley every time they go up against each other.
Yeah. Hey.
Now I'm excited for this match.
He's Matt Serra.
There we go. Yeah. I love me missing that, sir. And then in a match that's just going to be absolutely balls out insane for the amount of damage MJF is going to have to take because Darby's a madman.
Yeah.
Darby Allin versus MJF, title versus hair. I like your thoughts on this because I think they make the most sense.
I haven't listened to any other recaps. Is anyone picking up on Hangman or no?
I believe Brian Alvarez did.
I think I sent that to him. So,
okay. He either brought it up or Dave in one of his 20-minute rambling things with what could happen may have name dropped 20 people, including Hangman.
So I think Hangman returns and he either gets MJF disqualified or gets Darby disqualified. Sorry. Meaning that MJF wins the match, but doesn't win the title, which means he doesn't have to get his head shaved.
Mm-hmm.
Or that he costs MJF the match, and then he does have to get his head shaved. Either way, we end up with an MJF Hangman feud. Darby retains, but he's on borrowed time, and he's probably losing at the next pay-per-view. And he's defending. Because the other thing we got to remember is they set up a match with Roosh challenging for the title on Wednesday, and he challenged Darby. There's not a chance MJF is defending against him if he wins.
No.
So I mean, if we want to see Roosh challenge for the title, it's going to have to be Darby.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think they may do a flash change there, possibly. Well, that'd be fun. Because even MJF would get mad at that. You mean I lost my hair and then Darby loses to Roosh? Come on.
And now I got to face Roosh? No, I don't want to fight Roosh.
The problem here is that the hair stipulation is never honored in AEW because...
Well, I mean, it's honored, but I mean, they don't.
It's honored,
sell
but
it.
You never play it up for it being embarrassing. It's just put on a hoodie and we move on. Thanks, Wheeler Yuta.
But I think MJF would be the guy that would.
Yes, and
he
I
would
want
be
it.
The he would be doing the Kurt Angle, Buddy Roberts.
Buddy Roberts, come on,
yeah, coming out with a wig. Hey, I didn't lose my hair.
Headgears, hair pieces, masks.
Yeah,
give it to me.
Give so did you hear? Did kid. You hear about the interview that he did with Ariel Helwani this week?
Yes, I watched parts of it.
So where he's now saying that this is his hair. He's denying that he got hair plant transplants in Turkey. So
well, it may not have been in Turkey, but I think he paid a visit to Bosley.
Well, whatever it is, he's
got
resodded.
He has got resodded.
My first thought was. Has he been working us this whole time? Setting up for this match? Or is he just trying to make us think he was working us the whole time to get people to buy the pay-per-view thinking he might lose?
That's a decent point.
Did you?
I'm thinking more about the hair plugs and thinking how like Matthew McConaughey went out there and lied and said it was like the pill and stuff. It's like the pill doesn't grow your hair back like that, brother. Those are plugs, but good.
Okay, MJF is now a favorite to win. When I did the show on Garrett on Tuesday, Darby was the favorite. So these odds are flipping.
Watch the betting lines towards the beginning of the show, and if they move heavily towards Darby, it's Darby.
Okay. So as of yesterday, this is on F4W.com. Yesterday at 2:00 in the afternoon, Darby Allin was a -400 favorite.
Okay.
As of today, the F4W posted another article. Oh no, that was 411 Mania. And that was May 20th. And that was, this is F4W online. Yeah. May 20th. And then on Reddit, this is Bet Online. This was today, and here they've got Darby as the favorite on Bet Online at -250.
Okay, so they've gone down a bit, but
no, I mean they've flipped.
Oh well, you said Darby was -400 before. Now he's -200.
Darby was -400. Now MJF is Darby was no. So yesterday
who's
MJF
betting on pro wrestling. Who are these degenerates?
Yesterday MJF was -400. Today Darby is -400.
Gotcha. Okay. Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Who knows?
But yeah. I mean, all of the draw is in watching MJF getting his hair get his head shaved.
It is.
Right? If he actually has
and close. Okay, so we've got two stip matches on the show.
Yeah.
And one of them. We have two stips on this show. One of them we know is not going to get paid off.
Correct.
Right? Like Cope and Cage aren't splitting up.
Right.
So if the AEW want to, are they going to not give us either stip? Or are they going to give us one of them?
Do you think they've thought that through?
I think when you do two big stip matches on the same show, it has
you
to
need
be
to do one of
in.
Them. Yeah, you have to do one.
Well, it
of
has
them.
To be. It ha you have to think about it. Like you don't just put two stip matches on the show by accident, and then at the when you're going down to decide the winners. I will say this: I think we're going to get a story that comes out about Monday or Tuesday of next week that's going to say, as of Saturday, Tony Khan hadn't made up his mind who is winning this match yet.
If Max actually does have hair plugs, I can't see them shaving his head.
I agree.
Because He'll have scars on the back of his head. He'll have the scars where the plugs are.
Now, I mean, it doesn't affect the... I think people are overplaying the acting thing because you can wear wigs when you're doing acting.
Samuel Jackson has a wig every time he does a movie.
And lots of other people that you don't know do.
I think MJF did too on that Billy Madison,
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore movie. I think he wore
Lots of times they do because never have the hairdo that you want, especially when you got hair like MJF that theoretically doesn't grow the way you want it to. And I think he was probably playing a guy that I haven't seen the movie yet, but weren't they kind of redneck?
MJF has had some weird hairstyles when he tries to straighten out and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So maybe he's decided, hey, I want to go bald. Bald is beautiful.
Looks ugly on me, but nevertheless. Paul, thank you for doing the show. Get your plug.
Hey, I always enjoy it. I always enjoy it. Do I do a plug? Did you ask me for that?
I just asked you for plugs. Yes, sir.
Okay, sorry.
Not hair plugs, but just regular plugs.
I talked to you. Speaking of plugs, I do a show called The Takedown with Garrett Gonzalez on Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Pacific, midnight Eastern, on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel, and it drops on the free audio feed on Wednesday mornings. And then on Wednesday evenings, I do a show with Jeff called The Dynamite Show, where we recap everything that happened on AEW Dynamite, tell some lame jokes. I do a little bit of singing. Occasionally I do my Mike Bailey improvs. It's a lot of fun.
Your Mike Bailey impression is phenomenal. I won't deny that.
That is also on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel. And it goes 20 minutes after Dynamite ends, or sorry, 10 minutes after Dynamite ends. And then the next morning on the Fight Game Media free audio feed.
Cool. You can follow me at CrapGame13 on Twitter. And I do the show with Paul, and that's it. And that's all I can stand because people on the internet are mean.
There are days when I think, do I want to keep doing this? And then I do a show with you and I'm like, this is why I do it.
Yes. And we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.